This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Coming up this hour.
The Trump administration has Dodd-Frank in its crosshairs as it gears up for a sweeping review of financial regulations.
The Bank of Japan shakes up markets with its latest move aimed at the yield curve.
Apple moves into the world's fastest growing smartphone market with plans to make iPhones in India.
Will the U.S. hit Iran with new sanctions today? Plus, President Trump is telling Israel new settlements may not be helpful. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. An overtime win in Buffalo for the Rangers, and Tiger Woods with another back injury has withdrawn from the tournament in Dubai.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P futures are up 2 points, Dow futures up 19, NASDAQ futures up 3. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, CAC in Paris up 0.7%, FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, little change. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.48%, the yield on the 2-year 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 27 cents to $53.81 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $4.30 to $12.15.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.0739, the yen, 113.15.
According to a White House official, President Donald Trump today will sign an executive order calling for a sweeping review of rules created by the Dodd-Frank Act. The president also expected to halt the Labor Department's fiduciary rule requiring retirement advisors to work in the best interest of their clients. That would give the Treasury Department time to review the regulation. Trump is scheduled to issue the directives at a signing ceremony around noon following a meeting of more than a dozen top corporate executives led by Blackstone Chief Executive Officer Steve Schwarzman.
Speaking with Bloomberg yesterday before the news came out, Cantor Fitzgerald CEO Sean Matthews weighed in on possible regulatory reform, saying that any changes to Dodd-Frank will likely be at the margins.
How do you actually get Dodd-Frank pulled back in some ways? It's not going away, in my opinion. I think it'll still be there, but it will certainly be pulled back.
That's Cantor Fitzgerald CEO Sean Matthews speaking to Bloomberg yesterday.
At 8:30 Wall Street time, the U.S. Labor Department issues its monthly employment report. Economists' current projections call for an increase of 180,000 jobs. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee has more.
Today's headline number will grab attention, particularly in Washington. Other data, including this week's ADP and ISM numbers, suggest January job growth might have been much stronger than consensus. That might set off a political battle to claim credit. Economists, meanwhile, will be focused on a different number, average hourly earnings. Another strong month is forecast, which should happen with the jobless rate so low. Although, ironically, strong hiring could depress unemployment and earnings if it means more people are coming back into the labor force. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Michael. And we'll bring you live coverage and analysis of this morning's job data with Janus Capital Fund Manager Bill Gross at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
For a recap of trading in Asia today, we go to Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin in our Hong Kong bureau.
John and Karen, Asian stocks reversing a two-day advance as Chinese markets returned from a week-long break. Commodity shares tracking the drop in metals after a read on China manufacturing PMI expanded slower than forecast. And the PBOC's move to tighten funding conditions also weighing on Chinese stocks. So the Shanghai comp falling 0.6% on its first day back. The Hang Seng's post-holiday blues continued for a fourth session. And materials dragged on the ASX 200, the index falling a second straight day. And Japanese markets ending the day higher after morning swings driven by the BOJ's attempts to demonstrate resolve to control the yield curve after JGB rates spiked and the yen strengthened. But the currency since falling back above the 113 a dollar level after the BOJ moved to offer to buy an unlimited amount of bonds at a fixed rate. For Bloomberg Daybreak, I'm Sophie Kamarudin from Hong Kong.
Sophie, thank you. According to a regional minister, Apple will begin assembling iPhones in India by the end of April. The U.S. company has tapped Taiwan's Wistron Corporation to put together its phones in the tech capital Bangalore. Well, this signals Apple's commitment to the world's fastest-growing smartphone market as growth slows in China and other more mature markets.
It'll be the first social media company in the U.S. to go public since Twitter more than 3 years ago. Snap Inc., the maker of a popular disappearing photo app, has filed for an initial public offering. According to people familiar with the matter, Snap plans to raise as much as $4 billion with a market value of about $25 billion. The filing revealed a $515 million loss for last year.
Shares of Amazon, the most active in the pre-market, they are down 3.8%. And this comes after the company reported holiday season sales that missed estimates. Let's get more on this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Amazon also said revenue in the current period may miss estimates, raising concerns that rising spending on warehouses, movies, and gadgets is not yet translating into fast enough growth. Amazon said revenue increased 22% to $43.4 billion in the fourth quarter. Net income $1.54 a share. Analysts had estimated profit of $1.36 on revenue of $44.7 billion. Amazon Web Services revenue was $3.5 billion in the fourth quarter, up 47% from a year earlier. Cloud computing is Amazon's fastest growing and most profitable segment. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Shares of Banco Popular are down more than 4.5% in Madrid this morning after the bank reported a fourth quarter loss of $3.9 billion. The lender booked total provisions of more than $6 billion to cover losses on property and mortgages. In June, Banco Popular tapped investors for $2.6 billion to clean out bad real estate assets. And futures this morning, they are a little changed to higher, with S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 21, NASDAQ futures up 3.5. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. A federal judge in Boston is set to hear arguments on a request to extend a temporary injunction against President Donald Trump's travel ban. The ACLU was granted a 7-day restraining order in a lawsuit filed on behalf of two university professors. They were detained at Boston's airport as they returned home from an academic conference. Today could be the day President Trump makes Iran an economic target following a ballistic missile test. Up to 24 Iranian individuals, companies, and possibly government agencies could be hit with sanctions as part of the move. Paris police are saying a soldier opened fire in front of the Louvre Museum. The soldier fired on a man who attacked him with a knife, according to the Interior Ministry. The area around the museum in Paris was sealed off by police. In France, the presidential election has expanded from a 2-way race to a 4-way race. Bloomberg's Greg Viscusi has more from Paris.
François Fillon's lead has vanished as revelations keep coming out about family members on his payroll. Independent Emmanuel Macron has benefited. Marine Le Pen has held steady. And now socialist Benoît Hamon has made a surprising jump in the polls. Fillon's Republican Party is divided about what to do, with some members saying he should step down. But the party has no procedure for replacing a candidate, and Fillon has begged his followers to give him time to clear his name. Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
Secretary of Defense James Mattis met with his South Korean counterpart in Seoul today. Mattis's visit is to reassure the U.S. commitment to defend South Korea.
We stand with our peace-loving Republic of Korea ally to maintain stability on the peninsula and in the region. America's commitments to defending our allies and to upholding our extended deterrence guarantees remain ironclad.
Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has criticized European Union sanctions against Russia during a visit by President Vladimir Putin. Bloomberg's Henry Mayer has more from Moscow.
The Russian leader blamed Ukraine for a recent upsurge of violence between government forces and separatists in the east of his country, which could set back Moscow's hopes of an easing of the punitive sanctions. Henry Mayer, Bloomberg Daybreak, Moscow.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street. And now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
John, the Rangers continue to thrive away from home. They lead the NHL in road victories last night in Buffalo, a win at the end.
12 seconds left on their kill. Stretch pass just by Dmitry Kulikov.
Johnny, is he a player, what, 90 for Buffalo?
Sure is. Is he a player?
Now Zibanejad. Three defenders on him. Kreider lays it back. Miller, Kreider, he scores! Chris Kreider wins it in overtime.
CSN had the call, a 2-1 victory with JT Miller assisting on both the game winner, which was Kreider's 20th of the season, and the earlier goal by Matt Zuccarello. Solid goaltending from Henrik Lundqvist, 36 saves after he got benched the other night.
It's about a mindset. Going into the game, I knew I had to be better tonight than my last performance, so I felt good to get the win. It was a fun game, a lot of action.
Top teams in the NBA and college basketball both won. Golden State in L.A. over the Clippers, 133-120. Steph Curry, 29 points. Kevin Durant, 26. And the Warriors just keep winning, now 43-7. And Gonzaga is 22-0, ranked number one. This one, 85-75 at BYU. Northeast Conference, Fairleigh Dickinson's in first place, but lost to Sacred Heart, 74-70. Wagner won 70-60 at Central Connecticut. LIU beaten at home by Robert Morris, 67-63. And the Battle of the St. Francis's, to the one from Pennsylvania in Brooklyn, 78-61. Tiger Woods' back problems are back. They paid him seven figures to go play in Dubai. He shot a 77, and then after dinner started to experience back spasms, he's withdrawn from the tournament. Woods' agent insists the injury not related to the nerve issues that led to three back surgeries. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Thanks, John. Other sports news, NFL Players Association weighing in on President Trump's executive order on immigration. The union president, Eric Winston, says the Players Association is opposed to the president's temporary ban on immigrants from seven Muslim-majority countries. The union's opposition came just a day after the NFL commissioner would not clarify the league's stance on the issue. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by the 1031 Real Estate Group, turnkey investment properties, fully rented with a downtown city location. Call 844-777-1031. That's 844-777-1031.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Proper Cloth, the leader in men's custom shirts with proprietary smart size technology and top-rated customer service. Ordering a custom shirt has never been easier. Visit ProperCloth.com to order your first custom shirt today. 617 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines, and we'll take a look at them in just a moment. Right now, futures this morning, it is Jobs Day, and futures are little changed to higher ahead of the jobs report. S&P futures are up about 0.2%. NASDAQ futures up 0.1% or 6 points. Dow futures are up 32 or also almost 0.2%. DAX in Germany up 0.2% this morning. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.48%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 21 cents to $53.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $4.20 to $12.15.20 an ounce. The euro is at $1.0740, the yen 113.15. Now we get a check of the latest headlines, and here's Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak Desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Dismantling Dodd-Frank starts today. President Trump will sign an executive action to halt the fiduciary rule. He'll also order a review of the Act's other rules. Meanwhile, the U.S. may slap new sanctions on Iran today for sponsoring terrorism and testing ballistic missiles. That's according to people familiar with the matter, who say up to 17 entities may be targeted. Non-farm payrolls and wages lead this morning's U.S. data. Surveys show the pace of hiring probably rose in January, along with average earnings. And football fans are descending on Houston for Super Bowl 51. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is going for a record fifth NFL championship ring, but he'll have to get through Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, who's a near lock for league MVP. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more with what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump says Israel's constructing new settlements may not be helpful to Middle East peace efforts. Shortly before taking office, Trump vigorously criticized the Obama administration for not vetoing a UN Security Council measure that condemned the settlements. Paris police are saying a soldier opened fire in front of the Louvre Museum. An interior ministry says the soldier fired on a man who attacked him with a knife. The area around the museum in Paris has been sealed off by police. In sports, in the NHL, the Rangers beat the Sabres in overtime 2-1. In the NHL, the Wizards and the Warriors were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. So if you have any special person out there that wants to have candy, like many people, it's like the Whitman sampler. But if you want to go a little more upscale, how about some dark chocolate truffles from Maison du Chocolat? Or John Nyhaus Prestige Box beat out L.A. Burdick's small wood assortment for the top spot in the ranking of the finest truffles.
Just a little Valentine's Day etiquette. When you do get the Whitman sampler, you don't like the chocolate or whatever you bite into, don't put it back into the box half-eaten.
Oh, that, well.
I know you do that.
Well, there goes your box of sweethearts, my good man.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm Goodbye, honey. Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And it is All Important Jobs Day today. A Bloomberg Intelligence economist, Elena Shaletova, she wants 180,000 payroll jobs for January as part of her Valentine's Day present. 180, that's a pretty good number.
That's a consensus forecast. We might get something even higher than that, just
because
a little bit higher.
Because ADP was pretty strong.
A wide range, not just ADP, but a wide range of different indicators, including consumer sentiment and business sentiment for both big and small businesses, actually is pointing to a substantial increase in the pace of payrolls creations.
Yeah, you talk about NFIB, other consumer sentiment. And I talked to Marty Mucci. He's the CEO of Paychex, which is a small payroll company, a big payroll company that caters to smaller companies. He was telling me that it was a pretty bang-up number in
so
his index.
So if small companies follow up on their sentiment, hiring intentions that keep rising, that would suggest that there is some kind of an animal spirit building right now. And that would suggest that small companies follow through on their promises or intentions to increase hiring. But what's going to be interesting in the payrolls report today, I think,
wages. Am I getting a raise?
So why is it interesting? Because it could actually send a false sense of alarm that wage pressures are boiling over just before they are about to moderate. And why I'm saying that is that because a bunch of states actually increased minimum wages in the month of January. And that happened back in 2015 and 2016. And Bloomberg Intelligence analysis suggests that the impact from the minimum wage increase could be similar to that in those 2 years.
Okay, so that's not necessarily going to signal to the rest of the world, including the Federal Reserve, that inflation pressures are picking up significantly.
Absolutely. Not necessarily. That's the right word. So we could see a spike in January and then some moderation going forward. And that's exactly what happened in the last 2 years. So to be sure, we are going to see wage pressures continue to build this year and just because we are operating near full employment. But this particular report and the earnings number, you should take with a little bit of a grain of salt just to see how it evolves going forward.
Okay. You've completely confused me then. But anyway, happy Valentine's Day.
Okay, it's coming.
We hope we get that number, 180, and a box of chocolates. From Bloomberg Intelligence, Elena Shaletova, providing unique real-time research, context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers, you can access this function at BIGO. And remember, our coverage begins at 8:30 Wall Street time. Bill Gross from Janus Capital is going to join David Gura and Tom Keene. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by the Breakers Palm Beach, Florida's most iconic beachfront resort paradise. The Breakers Palm Beach just made your favorite winter escape harder to resist. Visit thebreakers.com or 1-800-BREAKERS.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Donald Trump set to order a sweeping review of the Dodd-Frank Act. That's according to a White House official who says he will sign an executive action today to scale back regulations put in place after the financial crisis. Trump will also halt a regulation requiring retirement account advisors to work in the best interest of their clients.
At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the U.S. Labor Department issues its monthly employment report. Bloomberg's Julie Hyman has a preview.
Economists are estimating that once again there will be relatively robust jobs growth, although below 200,000. The estimate for 175,000 jobs being added to the American economy in January, that's roughly in line with the 180,000 that is the 12-month trailing average. 4.7% is the unemployment rate, and economists are predicting that that is going to hold steady. Julie Hyman, Bloomberg, New York.
All right, thanks, Julie. And we'll bring you live coverage of this morning's job data with Janus Capital Fund Manager Bill Gross at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Shares of Amazon, they are down 3.9% in the pre-market after the company reported holiday sales that missed estimates. Amazon also projected increased spending that's sparked concern about near-term profit.
Snap, the maker of the disappearing photo app Snapchat, has filed for an initial public offering, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
It is the first American social media company to do so since Twitter more than 3 years ago. The company filed with an initial size of $3 billion, a placeholder amount used to calculate fees that may change. People familiar with the matter say Snap plans to raise as much as $4 billion in the IPO. According to the prospectus, Snapchat has more than 158 million daily active users. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index Report, being brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures, learn more at cboe.com/powerful-outcomes-VIX. The VIX rose 1% yesterday to close at 11.93. And separately in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures right now are down 2.9%, down 0.34 at 11.59. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Report.
And futures are higher. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 40, NASDAQ futures up 8, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Our latest world and national news straight ahead.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 of Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by A Bronx Tale, the new musical. AM New York hails it as a combination of Jersey Boys and West Side Story. A Bronx Tale, Broadway's new hit musical. Get your tickets today at telecharge.com. Let's get news from around the world now. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Iran could be hit with new sanctions by the U.S. as early as today. Earlier this week, the Trump administration said it had put Iran on notice after it test-fired a ballistic missile. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he's in favor of the additional sanctions.
The last administration appeased Iran far too much. I think they went too far with Iran, and I think as a result, Iran is far more activist than it otherwise would be.
President Donald Trump is telling Israel that constructing new settlements may not be helpful to Middle East peace efforts. It's a shift toward a tougher line with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government. Still, the White House has made clear that the Trump administration has not yet taken an official position on settlement activity. A federal judge in Boston will hear arguments today on a request to extend a temporary injunction against President Donald Trump's travel ban. A 7-day restraining order was granted Sunday in a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of two university professors who were detained at Boston's Logan Airport as they were returning home from an academic conference. The professors are Muslims from Iran and lawful permanent U.S. residents. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are responding to President Trump's tense phone call last week with Australia's prime minister. The president tweeted Wednesday that he thinks an immigration deal negotiated by the Obama administration was, quote, dumb. Senator Lindsey Graham said he thinks it's important for the U.S. to maintain its relationships with its allies.
I would just say to the extent that politics is music, probably the phone call was a little off key.
The head of Uber won't be on hand today when President Trump's Council of Business Leaders meets for the first time at the White House. Uber CEO Travis Kalanick has quit the council after criticism from customers and drivers. Nordstrom says it will stop selling the Ivanka Trump brand this season. It comes after boycott threats and concerns about the first daughter's conflicts of interest. Nordstrom says it made the decision based on sales. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, and that is time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, the Rangers have had some issues on home ice this season, but not so on the road, where they're winning at a pace even better than the 1994 Stanley Cup team. A 2-1 overtime win in Buffalo. They're 11th in the last 13 away from home. Chris Kreider won it about a minute to go in overtime, 20th of the year for number 20. And now comes the four-game homestand starting Sunday afternoon with Calgary. A lot of people in Houston for the Super Bowl went to see the Rockets play the Hawks. Atlanta came from 20 down and won 113-108. Tim Hardaway Jr., a career-high 33 points. John Wall scored 33. Washington beat the Lakers. The Wizards have won 16 in a row at home. College hoops, Northeast Conference, a win for Wagner. Losses for LIU, St. Francis, and Fairleigh Dickinson. More of the same for Tiger Woods. A struggle on the course and a back injury. In Dubai, Woods shot a 77 and then had to withdraw from the tournament. Back spasms that his agent insists are not related to the nerve issues that led to three back surgeries. He was likely to have played only one more round, unlikely to have made the cut. Biggest storyline of the Super Bowl 51, the pursuit of history if the Patriots beat the Falcons. That's five Super Bowl wins for Tom Brady, more than any other quarterback, and a record five for a coach. It would actually be seven for Bill Belichick if you include the two he won as Giants defensive coordinator.
You know, it's certainly an honor to be in this game. It's a privilege to represent the AFC in this championship game. And, you know, to have been in it that many times is special this year because Brian and Steven are on the staff. But it's special to be here. It's no question about that. But in terms of numbers and other games and other times and all that, we'll get to that at some other point.
He referenced his two sons that are working for him. Five titles would also tie Belichick with Vince Lombardi. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
Thanks, John. With a renewed White House focus on regulation, lawmakers are looking for more data on the impact of those regulations. And Nancy Lyons reports for the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A routine Senate Commerce Committee hearing this week turned into a grilling session of industry witnesses by the senators.
They really wanted hard data on the job losses caused by regulation, and also they wanted some more precise figures on the actual costs of regulation.
Bloomberg BNA's White House correspondent Cheryl Bolin.
All senators now are really looking for some facts that they can point to prove their case, either that regulations need to be eliminated or that maybe they need to be protected.
Bolin says it's not always easy to quantify the cost and benefit of regulations, especially if you're talking about saving a life. She says this is one debate, though, that will continue, with President Trump determined to slim down those regulations. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Shares of Visa are up 4% in early trading after the company said it's sticking to its annual revenue target despite a stronger dollar weighing on its business. Bloomberg's Catherine Cowdery has details.
Visa predicts its revenue will increase from 16 to 18% for the full year, including a bigger drag from currency swings. Visa reported quarterly profit that topped analyst estimates and said its results were helped by a pickup in payments volume, cross-border commerce, and processed transactions worldwide. Visa has been benefiting from the global shift away from cash and checks to electronic payments. It's been investing in digital technologies. Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And General Motors is finding out that luxury sales, global sales of the Cadillac brand soared in January, up 44%, the eighth straight month of global digit increases. In China, Cadillac sales increased 116% in the month. And meanwhile, Honda raising full-year forecast for the second time in the last year. The Japanese automaker sold a record number of vehicles in the U.S. and China in 2016 and also says demand in those two markets will increase global sales in the year. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have S&P futures right now. They are 4 points higher. That is up 0.2%. And the Dow E-mini futures are 40 points higher. That's up 0.2%. NASDAQ E-mini futures, 7 points higher ahead of the open on Wall Street. That's up 0.2%. As we look at currencies this morning, we have the dollar stronger, euro 107.32, the yen at 113.14, sterling 124.72, and the Swissy at 0.9968. The 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.48%. And the 2-year yield, a little more reactive there. This is all ahead, of course, of the 830 jobs report, 1.21%. We have NYMEX crude up 0.3%. That's up 18 cents a barrel at 53.72. And the more international price, Brent up 19 at 56.74 right now. Also, spot gold down $2.66 an ounce at 12.1309. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Eisner Amper, the audit, tax, and advisory professionals at Eisner Amper, LLP.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are increasing gains this morning. NYMEX crude oil also rising. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains for the U.S. futures today as we await those job numbers. Dow futures currently higher by 37 points. S&P's gained 4. And the Nasdaq futures climbed by 7. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.49%. China tightened monetary policy by raising money market rates overnight. Well, European markets are also trading higher today, led by 0.8% gains in France. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, change in non-farm payrolls estimate 180,000. Unemployment rate estimate 4.7%. At 9:15, Fed's Evan speaks on the economy and policy. And at 10 o'clock, ISM at 9 manufacturing, factory orders, and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Amazon sales missed estimates. Shares are down 3.8% in the pre-market. Amgen beat. Chipotle missed. Deckers is down 20% in the pre-market after its earnings. And Visa beat. Regarding earnings this morning, Clorox sales were in line. And look for Hershey to report around 7 a.m. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Ford raised overweight at Barclays. Over at Credit Suisse, Ensco and Transocean raised outperform. Eaton cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. And Ralph Lauren cut to underweight at Piper. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump's administration is planning to impose new sanctions on Iran as early as today. According to people familiar with the plans, it's to punish Iran for testing ballistic missiles. A French soldier was wounded after he was attacked by a man with a knife in front of the Louvre Museum in Paris. The soldier opened fire on the attacker, who was seriously wounded. The Mexican drug lord known as El Chapo is scheduled to appear in federal court in New York today. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman is charged with running a huge and violent drug trafficking operation. In sports in the NHL, the Rangers were winners. In the NBA, the Wizards and the Warriors won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Sunday It is Super Bowl 51. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are up against Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Brady is going for his record fifth NFL championship ring. And if you're not into football, there are always the commercials. John, 1 30-second TV ad will cost about $5 million.
What time do you want me to be over at your house?
I'd be there Saturday.
Well, it's going to be a two-day event.
It's a two-day event, yes. Lady Gaga, by the way, is performing at halftime.
Okay. Global, sure to miss that.
Global News, 24 hours a day. Be nice. Powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts. In more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Every day, countless component parts weave their way through border-crossing supply chains that depend on free trade. Bloomberg's Thomas Black takes a look at Firstronic, a small Michigan company that makes printed circuit boards for auto parts. They buy the capacitors from a Colorado supplier, which imports the components from multiple suppliers in Asia. The capacitor is shipped to Mexico, where it's inserted into a circuit board. It then heads to a U.S. warehouse. The component then returns to Mexico, hauled to a Norwegian company, which assembles the circuit board into a seat actuator.
People have this notion that the trade means a finished good gets imported or exported, and it's really more complex than that because you have all kinds of component parts.
Backing out of free trade accords could wreak havoc on this supply chain and in the process drive up prices and put jobs at companies like Firstronics at risk. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And right now it's time to check out what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump meeting with his economic advisory group for the first time. This group of business leaders is chaired by Blackstone Chairman and CEO Steve Schwarzman. The Council on Foreign Relations meets to discuss moves to counter religious extremism. At noon, Mr. Trump is scheduled to sign executive orders before departing the White House to fly to his estate in Florida. And one of those executive orders said to be a move to conduct a sweeping review of the Dodd-Frank Act, the rules enacted in response to the 2008 financial crisis. And here with more on the story, Bloomberg's Tulu Olorunipa, and he joins us from the White House this morning. Dodd-Frank, well, certainly the bank stocks this morning seem to like it. They're all up in the pre-market. What's the reaction to this?
Well, this is Donald Trump, the president, starting to follow through on a pledge that he made certainly during the campaign, but also a couple of weeks ago. He said that he's going to do, quote, a big number on Dodd-Frank, and we're going to expect him to sign a couple of executive orders specifically targeting that law and some of the regulations that were put in place by the Obama administration. And it's a sign that the White House wants to be a little bit more hands-off when it comes to financial regulation. They believe that the Obama administration's actions actually stifled some of the investment that's needed to boost the economy. And so they're taking a different tack, and we're going to have a chance to see what the reaction is, both here in Washington from Democrats who are going to be upset about these moves, as well as from the markets as they wake up this morning.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because some of the banks have already changed their business models in reaction to the Dodd-Frank regulations. More of a change there, so it'll be interesting to see if they come back from the flow model. What is the reaction by Democrats? Can they block this, those that put it in place in the first place?
Yeah, there's very little that Democrats can do to block the regulatory side of this because the president has the ability to roll back regulations that were put in place by the previous president. Some of these regulations obviously were put into place through legislation, and Democrats will try to do what they can to block anything that would require new legislation that would require Congress to be involved, because Democrats have more power over the congressional process than they do at the White House. And I believe they're also going to sort of put forward a sort of a PR pitch and say that, you know, the White House and the Republicans are trying to roll us back to the same type of situation that got us into the financial crisis, and see what bringing that message to the voters might do. That is probably going to be their number one strategy, is sort of blame the Republicans and Donald Trump and say his cabinet is full of billionaires who want to take things back to the way they were right before we entered into the Great Recession. And that's probably going to be their number one strategy, and we'll see how effective that might be.
From your perspective there at the White House, such a broader question, does it seem that the administration in some instances is working at cross purposes? I mean, the thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, talk about the dollar, strong dollar, weak dollar. What is your sense?
Yeah, definitely. There are a number of different fiefdoms and groups within the White House as they've tried to get ramped up and staffed up, and not everyone is coordinated. So you have seen, you know, various messages from different administration officials that aren't always in line and in sync with the president himself, who is famously known for being independent and often sort of going off on tangents and tweeting things that are, you know, maybe different from what his communications staffers want him to be talking about. So it's not necessarily a coordinated messaging strategy, and we've obviously seen that in some of the messaging around, you know, the strength of the dollar and trade and our relations with other countries. So I believe as they get their team staffed up, they'll try to have a little bit more of a coordinated message. But obviously, this is an unconventional presidency, and a lot of the different messages are being driven by the fact that the man at the top is not always in sync with some of the people that are working for him.
You know, it was at the prayer breakfast yesterday. I saw the headline go by on the Bloomberg that Trump wanted to pray for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you know, I had to point out to everybody the context in which it was said. It was, you know, joking. Are people in Washington getting used to the style of this president?
I think so. I think, you know, maybe earlier in his presidency, it's only been 2 weeks, but maybe at the beginning, maybe
it's only been 2 weeks.
it feels a lot longer, but maybe earlier there would have been more headlines and more outcry over the fact that the president went to this, you know, sort of sacred national prayer breakfast and used it as an opportunity to take a shot at Arnold Schwarzenegger, even in a joking manner. But I think people have gotten a little bit used to it and sort of allowed it to roll off their shoulders, because they realize that this president is doing things in a way that no president has in the past, and some of the shock value has gone away, because he's done so many shocking things already. So that was something that we haven't seen before at a national prayer breakfast, but it didn't end up dominating the news in the way that it might have if it wasn't Donald Trump doing it.
Hey, in about a minute left, I'm curious, the relations between the Trump administration and the media, with you guys, who sit there in the briefing room, is it as tense as it sometimes looks? We got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, it's occasionally tense, and a lot of times the tenseness of everything, the tension is for show, and it seems like the administration wants to sort of use the media as the, quote, opposition party, as the president has said. But behind the scenes, it's not quite as tense. They still bring reporters back for off-the-record briefings, and they still talk to us, and they still relate with us. So it's not quite as tense. Some of that is just for show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bloomberg's Tulu Olorunipa reporting for the White House this morning. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Also, a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1, 105.7 FM, HD2. Karen.
John Tucker, thank you. Futures this morning higher, S&P futures up about 4 points. And for John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.